be able to complete or to give the full message this morning. And so I will do the very best that I can with the time that I have. But I believe that you will be blessed because the person that I want to talk about today, just the mention of her name, is a blessing within itself. I want you to go with me to the book of Ruth. The chapter is 1, and I want to read in your hearing verses 9 through verse 18. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. She said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. I want to use for a subject, staying with it. Staying with it. We're living in a time where we are frightened of long-term commitments of any kind. To be honest, we are people who don't want to make commitments at all. It is reflected in our businesses, in our marriages. It's reflected in students in school, and even in our spiritual commitments. Long-term commitments are not popular today. We stand and we say in our marriage vows, in sickness and health, for richer or poorer, through thick and thin, so long as both shall live. But who really believes the other when they say those words? You better stay well. You better get richer. You better not live too long. Because the longer you live, there will be good days and there will be bad days. Sometimes the negatives will outweigh the positives. You'll have your mountaintop experiences, but as most mountaintop experiences, you usually have to come down to the valley, and that's where you spend most of your time. This is why we need to be reintroduced to the life of Ruth. See a fresh, real commitment in the midst of perseverance and persistence. Ruth has become a prototype for the person who is willing to stay with it, stick it out. Her proverbial persistence is unfortunately set against tragedy. Her story begins in the land of Moab, the country originated from an incestuous union between Lot and his daughter. Moab, as a nation, became the perennial enemy of the nation of Israel. There was constant war, and on certain occasions there was peace, but for the most part, there was continual war between Israel and Moab. The story of Ruth takes place in the days when the judges ruled Israel. Her story covers some 12 years, but 10 of them is in Moab. The immortal words of Ruth were recorded by the Holy Spirit. These three women out on a road, leaving Moab on their way to Palestine, going back to Bethlehem, Judea. God overheard their conversation. God heard the commitment of Ruth when she said, "Please don't beg me to leave you. Don't tell me to stop following after you. Whether you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and my God, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When the Holy Spirit heard it, he recorded it and put it in the eternal scriptures for all ages to hear such a commitment as that. When you talk about staying with it, there are tremendous blessings that come when one perseveres and when one has persistence. Persistence and perseverance brings great benefit. Someone said if Christopher Columbus had turned back, no one would have blamed him. But no one would have remembered him either. Day after day, Columbus entered these words in the log of the Santa Maria. "This day we sail on." Perseverance and persistence brings about great benefit for the individual, but it also brings about tremendous benefit for the world where this persistence and this perseverance takes place. When you stay with it, not only are you blessed, but you bless people that are around you and people that you really don't even know. Giving up is not what God wants his people to do. He wants them to find the great benefit of staying with it. May I share with you four things that resulted because of her tremendous commitment and perseverance and her persistence. She will illustrate through her life that God's redemptive plan extends beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. I'm going to say that again. She illustrates that God's redemptive plan extends beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. Here's what was said of her in Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 12. Remember, she's a Moabite. The Bible says, "The Lord recompense thy work." What is her work? Her work is a work of persistence. Her work is a work of perseverance. And here the words are said, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Here it is said that God will bless a Moabite. God is interested in blessing all people. He rewards those who are able to make a decision for him, make a decision to persevere and to be persistent. God loves everybody, and it extends beyond his own people. When you think in terms of Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says that the gospel of Christ is God's power to salvation to everyone that believeth, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek or to the Gentiles. God is not just interested in one people. But her life shows that God is able to reach beyond and to bring those of another nation even under his wings and bless them. That's why the Bible is already saying in John 3:16, God so loved the world. And this woman's life is an example, and it illustrates that God is a God who loves all people. All people came from God. And when we get in a position where we think that there's only one group of people that's being blessed, you have missed God. God loves everybody. And you and I can't be narrow and judge people by the way they look, and judge people by where they come from. You've got to expand and understand that if a man chooses to come under the wings of Almighty God, God will bless them. That's because Ruth is one who illustrates, because she was willing to stay with it, that God will bless a Moabite even in the land of Judah. That's because of her staying with it. Number two, Ruth demonstrates that women are co-heirs with men of God's salvation by grace. When you talk about, I know that it was James Brown who said, "This is a man's world." And I heard him, and I'm going to be honest, I really liked the song. But he said it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. James Brown knew that he was who he was because of women. Her story, along with Naomi's, is evidence of God's grace. And I'm talking about grace. When you look at her life and her staying with it and making a decision to choose God and to choose his people, she demonstrates that women are co-heirs with men. God chose a Moabite woman to be an heir with him and with men. Elimelech lived with his wife and two sons in Judah. Because of the famine, they left Judah and went to Moab. That wasn't a good move. He never should have left Judah. But God is able to take a bad move and make something good out of it. One should understand tragedy and bad times were not about geography. Bad times and tragedy will pack up their bags and move with you wherever you go. So don't think that because if I move here and I move there, I'm trying to tell you that the grace of God and the goodness of God is able to work beyond and in spite of tragedy wherever you are. I don't have to run. I don't have to move. All men in this story, listen to this. All men in the story died. Elimelech died. The two boys died. God left us with three women. And he's showing you how the grace of God worked in the lives of three women. Two to be more exact. I don't think any of us will have anything negative to say about Oprah, because I think if you'd have been there, you probably would have gone home too. But I'm going to tell you, it took a whole lot of faith on the part of Ruth to look beyond her tragedy and be able to see that going with Naomi and going to her homeland where God would be able to bless her. Here, she makes a decision to return as a widow. When you think in terms of God working in her life, she is a widow. Naomi is a widow. When you think in terms of a widow returning to her homeland, she returns without protection. She is vulnerable. She is vulnerable to societal insignificance. A woman only had status when she was in a clear relationship with a man. She had to be connected to a father, a brother, an uncle, a husband, or a brother-in-law. They were not able to support themselves by themselves. They could not inherit property in their own right. Here are two women who have experienced tragedy, going home in a deficit as widows. But oh, what a mighty God. A mighty God he is, that I don't care about how much tragedy you have experienced for the 10 years in Moab. You coming over here into Judah and you coming in as widows, and you have cast yourself totally on the mercy of Almighty God. When you make a decision for God, when you make a decision to stay with where God wants you to be, I'm telling you, God will be able to work wonders in every situation. And I understand that there are roles for men and there are roles for women to play in human nature and human affairs. But the spiritual affairs, I understand roles of men and women. But do not ever think that women are second-class citizens in the sight of God. God uses the story of Naomi and Ruth to show you that I love women. And I work with women. And I use women to bring about my purpose and to bring about all of the things that are needful in my wonderful plan of redemption. You cannot have my plan without women. And I'm going to show you that I'll reach over into a foreign nation and bring a Moabite and make her an heir, a co-heir in my wonderful plan of salvation. That's because God is willing to show that. And I understand, and I want you to look at some passages, but my time is really moving. Put in your notes Genesis 2, 18 through 25. I wanted to deal with, it's sure not good for a man to be alone. God knew that man couldn't make it by himself. I wanted to show you that both men and women are born in the image of God, made in the image of God. Even though the man was first, that woman also bears the image of God. And you need to know that at the cross, all of us are equal at the cross. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Whether we be male or female, born or free, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And he's trying to show us that women ought to be respected. And then number three, because she stayed with it, Ruth portrayed what a virtuous woman really is. I'm talking about a woman of strength. Virtuous, listen to what the testimony is in Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. All the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. You are a woman of excellence. You're a woman of strength. You're a woman to be praised. Listen to what the Bible says. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. That only means that you're not going to find them like you find rocks on a beach or rocks in a desert. You're going to have to dig. Because women are like diamonds. You're going to have to dig for them. They're like pearls. You got to wait until they are developed. And I'm just simply saying that Ruth was a woman of rare quality. And everybody knew that here was a woman that made a decision to leave her own home, Moab, and come in as a widow with Naomi. And yet she lived an excellent life among the people. She didn't go into harlotry. She didn't go into some type of job, a profession. She was an honorable woman. And by that, he said to all of the city, because anybody knows when somebody strange comes in, they watch you closer. And they knew that she was a woman of strength. You know, when a man finds a woman of virtue, he's really found himself a pearl, a ruby. And he's really found something that really makes him what he needs to be. And then my last point, because time is not on my side. I wanted to talk about some good women even here. But I'm going to pass. I'm not going to talk about them because the ones I choose, y'all going to have a problem with them. You're not? Oh, well, good. I just want to say, Sister Mildred Bell. Well, we can wait till she passes. She's not the only one, but I'm picking her. She shows more strength in her sickness. And the average man wouldn't even put forth the effort that she puts forth. virtuous, strong woman. They don't make them like that. May I choose another? Sister Phillips. Married to Brother Phillips. Elder Phillips. Sister Phillips is a quiet lady. Sister Bell is... We know when Sister Bell comes in the room. But a lot of time we don't know when Sister Phillips comes into the room. But the same strength. You don't go through what these women go through and be able to have the influence that they have. Brother Phillips would not be able to walk around here like some young man if Sister Phillips didn't give him the strength and the power to do it. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. He's strutting, but I got news for you. There's a strong woman behind him. Amen. Amen. Walking around here like we somebody. I'm going to tell you what. If you don't have a good, strong woman, you got to have a woman that's willing to take tragedy and to take, to go through it. And still be able to stand. I know I'm not going to be able to get to this last point. It was a good point, but I'm just going to stop right here because my time is gone. But let me tell you something. Now, I know you're not going to agree with this one either, but that's okay. I'm of age. Just want to talk about strong women. Now, I'm not advocating because... I'm not planning to say who I'm voting for, but I'm going to tell you this about a woman by the name of Hillary Clinton. Now, Bill Clinton got in trouble. Stay with me. And when Bill Clinton did what Bill Clinton did, because no need of me, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Bill Clinton messed up. But a strong woman made a decision. I'm not going to throw my husband away. She made a decision that she was going to take the circumstances and make the best out of them.